ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। नाम श्रेष्ठं मनमपि शचीपुत्रमत्रस्वरूपं रूपं तस्याग्रजमुरुपुरीं माथुरीं गोष्ठवतीं राधाकुण्डं गिरिवरमहो राधिका माधवाशं प्राप्तो यस्य प्रथितः कृपया श्रीगुरुं तं नतोऽस्मि। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयतः पदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथन्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता शिवशाखान्वितांश्च। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Yesterday we discussed name 621, Svaksha, Suaksha, who has very beautiful or very good eyes. And now the next one is Svanga, Suanga, who has a very beautiful body, a very beautiful limbs of the body. So we'll be discussing about the beautiful form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We should always remember that when we discuss the beauty of Krishna, it's not like discussing the beauty of any material form. It's fully spiritual, Krishna's form. It's non-different from him. Rishabhdev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of Rishabhdev, is recorded as stating in the Srimad Bhagavatam, is recorded as stating that my transcendental body looks exactly like a human form, but it is not a material body. It is inconceivable. Inconceivable means that when we hear these descriptions of the form of Krishna, we shouldn't try to understand it through our mundane intelligence. In fact, we shouldn't try to understand anything about Krishna through our mundane intelligence, because he is avang manasa gochara. It's not possible to reach to him by our words or our mind. And then we say, well, why are we talking? Why are we thinking? And we're praying for the mercy of Krishna to be able to enter into these topics. Those who have faith, those who have at least some affection and love given by the great acharyas, who are full of affection and love for Krishna, those who want to be Krishna conscious, they will be blessed by him to enter into the mysteries of these understanding. And again, understanding, it's not exactly a mental process to understand the beauty of Krishna. It's understanding something like when we eat nice food, then we understand it tastes very nice. It's not a mental or an academic process. It's just natural and spontaneous. So Krishna's transcendental form is fully spiritual. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satyadananda Vigraha Adhir Adhir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. He is the Supreme Controller, Krishna. Satyadananda Vigraha, his form is eternal, all good. Sat means, in this context, eternal, all good, without blemishes. Chit means he's fully cognizant, he's aware. And Ananda is full of bliss. The next two names that we'll discuss, if Krishna so kindly allows us to discuss, will be names in connection with the bliss of Krishna. They're coming up, two names. Sajya Anadir Adir Govinda, he is the origin of everything. There is no origin of him. And another way of saying that is he is the cause of all causes. So Svanga has beautiful body, or Anga can also mean limbs. He's so beautiful that he's even Radha is attracted to him. Who is more beautiful than Radha? Or it's a competition, transcendental competition. Who is the most beautiful? Krishna's servants, they dress him. Radha's servants, they dress her. Krishna's servants, they dress him so that he will be attractive to her. Her servants address her. Anyway, they're attractive to each other. But it's a transcendental competition between their servants more about who is the most beautiful, because each thinks that the other is the most beautiful. So there are many, many descriptions within Shastra of the beauty of Krishna. His body is all good. It's full with all auspicious marks. There is in the Samudrika, which is part of the Garuda Purana, there is a description of the auspicious symptoms on a body. Mostly when people think of Garuda Purana, they think of ghosts and dying people and all this kind of thing. But there are many things in there, including a description of the auspicious, the form of a person. You can see if they have these symptoms, they're very auspicious. So this one verse from Samudrika in the Garuda Purana was recited by Nilamba Chakravarti, who is the maternal grandfather of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When this boy was born, then he noticed all these symptoms on the body of this child, and he recited this verse. Or he said, Botrish lakhan mahapurushe bhushan e shishu ange dekhi sheshab lakhan. There are 32 bodily marks that symptomize a great personality, and I see all those marks on the body of this child. And then he recited this verse, Pancha dirga pancha shukshma saptarakta sharunata harasva prithu gambhiro dvatring shalakshano mahan. There are 32 bodily symptoms of a great personality. 5 of his bodily parts are large, 5 fine, 7 reddish, 6 raised, 3 small, 3 broad, and 3 grave. This is the description of a male personality, a great personality. The 5 large parts are the nose. So if you have a big nose, that's a symptom of a great person. But not just have a big nose, you have to have more. Big arms, large chin, large eyes, and large knees. The 5 fine parts, pancha sukshma, are the skin, the fingertips, the teeth, the hair on the body, and the hair on the head. The 7 reddish parts are the eyes, the soles of the feet, the palms, the palate, the nails, and the upper and lower lips. The 6 raised parts are the chest, raised, high chest, high shoulders, the nails, the nose, the waist, and the mouth. The 3 small parts are the neck, the thighs, and the male organ. The 3 broad parts are the waist, the forehead, and the chest. Yeah, for a female to have a narrow waist is considered auspicious. For a male to have a broad waist, broad forehead, and a broad chest. The 3 grave parts are very deep parts, gambhira. the navel, the voice, deep voice, and existence. One's very existence is means a grave personality. Altogether, these are the 32 symptoms of a great personality. This is a quotation from the Samudrika. So it may be that someone has these symptoms and isn't the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but certainly the Supreme Personality of Godhead has them when he appears in human-like form. We say human-like because we think in terms of ourselves, but rather it is that man is made in the image of God. Some people say that God is an anthropomorphic imagination. In other words, men imagined that there's some God who's something like a human being, but it's round the other way. That So let's go through to some more descriptions. There are, like many of the names in Vishnu Sahasranam, just especially as we're through, now I'm on name 622, so many of the names, they're similar to names that have come previously. Sudarshan is a very well-known name of the Supreme Lord. It's generally thought of in terms of his chakra, but his own name is Sudarshan also. So it means very pleasing to see. So similarly, Svanga, very beautiful body. So a very, very similar idea is there. But that doesn't mean that we can just skip it over and say, oh, well, this means that, finished. No, this whole Vishnu Sahasranam is there to help us meditate on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, meditation as a process of God realization is especially recommended for the Satya Yoga, Kriteya Dhyayato Vishnum. In the Satya Yoga, Krita Yoga, the process of God realization is by meditation on Vishnu. Dhyana avastita tadgatena manasa pashyanti am yoginaha. He is that person who is seen in meditation by the yogis. And in Kali Yoga, kalo tad hari kirtanat. In Kali Yoga, the method is by chanting the holy names of the Lord. So here, in Vishnu Sahasranam, we have the two things combined. We have chanting the names. Vishnu Sahasranam is more commonly chanted, all the names together. Rather, definitely there are elucidations, talks on the names like this. When we come to the name, we think of each and what does that mean? Svanga, oh, beautiful. Then we have to think, beautiful body. Then we think of the form of the Lord. So it's not that because the process of God realization, the yoga dharma for the Krita Yoga, the Satya Yoga is meditation, is not that we don't meditate in Kali Yoga on the form of the Lord, rather that by chanting his names and hearing about him, we want that, because remembering him, ultimately it comes to remembrance. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. So to remember him, we have to know something about him, have some information. And naturally, if our hearts are becoming purified, we'll be attracted to hear about him. You got that? Great. So there are many descriptions of him. All right, where to begin? That's the thing. Well, I'm talking about in the Satya Yoga, so you can read from the Srimad Bhagavatam briefly about in Satya Yoga how Narad Muni instructed Dhruv Maharaj to meditate upon the form of the Lord. It's well known, Dhruv Maharaj, he went to the forest and meditated on Vishnu. So that's Narad Muni told him to meditate on the form of the Lord. Prasadabhimukham. Prasadabhimukham. The first thing he said, the Lord's face is always, he's always, his face is always giving mercy. I'll read Srila Prabhupada's translation of the form of the Lord that Narad Muni instructed Dhruva Maharaj to meditate upon. Narad said, the Lord's face is perpetually very beautiful and pleasing in attitude. Interesting, he started from the face. To the devotees who see him, he appears never to be displeased. We always see, don't we, pictures of Krishna. He always looks very happy, even when he's killing demons. He always looks very happy. Of course, yesterday we also read about his reddish eyes in his anger at Ashvatthama. But generally we see very, very happy looking. Our Krishna is very happy. Some people think that God, his main business is throwing people into hell and being nasty. Maybe that's anthropomorphism. They imagine God to be like what they would do if they had the power. They'd be nasty to people. But Krishna, his natural propensity is to be very pleasing. And that reflects in his face. The face is the index of the mind. So Krishna's face is very beautiful. And his swabhav, his nature is very beautiful. The Lord's face is perpetually very beautiful and pleasing in attitude. To the devotees who see him, he appears never to be displeased, and he is always prepared to award benedictions to them. His eyes, his nicely decorated eyebrows, his raised nose, and his broad forehead are all very beautiful. He is more beautiful than all the demigods. Surasundaram. Narad Muni continued, the Lord's form is always youthful. Tarunam. Always youthful. It doesn't get old. Not old and decrepit walking with a stick. That's not God. No God in a wheelchair. No such thing. Always fresh. Always new. Navayovana. Always fresh and youthful. So the Lord's form is always youthful. Every limb and every part of his body is properly formed. So that gives the idea of svanga, suanga, all his limbs are very good. Free from defect, his limbs are free from defect. His eyes and lips are pinkish like the rising sun. Again, that example is given. He is always prepared to give a shelter to the surrendered soul, and anyone so fortunate as to look upon him feels all satisfaction. The Lord is always worthy to be the master of the surrendered soul, for he is the ocean of mercy. Sharanyam Karunarnavam. Sharanyam, he's worthy of taking shelter of. Now, anyone fortunate to see him feels all satisfaction. Well, Duryodhana didn't feel satisfaction when he saw Krishna. Why is that? Well, anyone who sees him, well, I mean, any sane person, if someone who's lost to himself, Atma, what is that? Atma Sambhavita Stabda in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says this, and Srila Prabhupada translated it as someone who is lost to himself. They're out of touch with their own real self. Instead of seeing Ishvara Parama Krishna, Krishna is the Supreme Controller, they think Ishvaro Hum, I am the Supreme Lord. What rascals and fools. And they don't take pleasure in seeing Krishna. But anyone who's a little bit sane will like to. They like to see Krishna. Very happy to see Krishna. They desire always to see Krishna. Narad Muni further described, the Lord is further described as having the mark of Sri Vatsa, or the sitting place of the goddess of fortune, and his bodily hue is deep bluish. Ghanashyama, that's another well-known name of Krishna, Ghanashyama, deeply shyama, bluish, blackish. The Lord is a person. Well, that's the whole point, isn't it? We're talking about the form of the Lord, and the rascal impersonalists, they like to say he has no form. The form that is inconceivably beautiful, the most beautiful of all forms, is he has no form. Not a person. What nonsense. We're so fortunate to be informed by Srila Prabhupada. Otherwise, how would we know? In the modern age, who's preaching this? Who's giving this? There's no one else. Of course, there are others who are preaching this, but at least I can't see how myself, and definitely in the Western world, and probably in India also. And who's teaching these things? Hardly. There are here and there, but Srila Prabhupada very powerfully established absolute is sentient. The supreme truth is conscious, living person. He is a person. Narad Muni continues. He wears a garland of flowers, Vanamali. You've so kindly taken these flowers, offered them to Krishna, offered them to me. They're meant for him. I wear them as a decoration of my acceptance that I'm a servant of Krishna. All beautiful flowers are meant for Krishna. He wears a garland of flowers, and he is eternally manifest with four hands which hold, beginning from the lower left hand, a conch shell, wheel, club, and lotus flower. Shankar Chakra Gada Padma. The entire body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, is decorated with various abharana. The word used here is abharana. Decorations. He wears a valuable jeweled helmet, necklace, and necklaces and bracelets. His neck is adorned with the Kaustubha jewel, and he is dressed in yellow silk garlands. The Lord is decorated with small golden bells around his waist. It used to be the little children, they'd have this Kati Sutra, there must be a Tamil word for that, the little cord around the waist. And then there'd be bells also. Udiyanam. All right, if I'm born in Tamil family, if I'm born here, they won't give me that. They'll give me injections. Babies get injections nowadays. They don't get cords around their waist with bells. Instead, they get injections. Makes them all stupid. All these chemicals, if they have any brain, it spoils it before they have a chance to develop it. So the Lord has small golden bells around his waist, and his lotus feet are decorated with golden ankle bells. Yeah, children are supposed to have ankle bells, right? They don't nowadays. They have to go to school and torture them. And going to school, all these horrible things. All his bodily features are very attractive and pleasing to the eyes. There we go. There's the summation of it all. Mana Nayana Vardhanam, very pleasing to the eyes and mind. He is always peaceful, calm, and quiet, and very pleasing to the eyes and the mind. Says it again. Real yogis meditate upon the transcendental form of the Lord as he stands on the wall of the lotus of their hearts. Wall means the center here. Hrit Padma Karnika, the jewel-like nails of his lotus feet glittering. The Lord is always smiling, and the devotee should constantly see the Lord in this form as he looks very mercifully toward the devotee. In this way, the meditator should look toward the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the bestower of all benedictions. So that's from the Satya Yoga. Okay, let's take a quick time travel to the Treta Yuga, to the Sundara Kandam of the Ramayana. Of course, that's another name of Vishnu, which will come in the Vishnu Sahasranam. Mm-hmm. Sundara is the Sundara Kanda, in which there's a very famous section where Janaki, Sita Devi, she sees Hanuman, but she's not quite sure. She's thinking maybe this is some trick of Ravana to try to gain my confidence. So she wasn't really very confident when she first saw Hanuman. And then Hanuman described the glories of Lord Rama in a way that only a devotee could do. Then she was convinced. Ravana couldn't do that, or any of Ravana's followers couldn't praise Lord Rama as Hanuman did. So to convince to convince Sita, and also for his own pleasure also, Hanuman, now he's retired, you could say. He's not out there fighting. But fighting? He's not there out fighting. Yeah, I heard you say fighting. Yeah, you have to say it in their language. Your language. And what does he do? He praises the glories of Lord Ram. So this is what he does when he has some spare time. He doesn't flick his way through the internet. Well, nowadays you get on the internet also. We didn't manage to get it together to print this out. So, Rama Kamala Patraksha. Oh, first thing he says when he's describing Ram to her. Rama. Oh, Janakatna Jay, he addresses her. Oh, you are the daughter of Janaka. Janakatma Jay. It's interesting actually that she has that name, because literally she wasn't born from Janakatma Ja, means born from the body of Janak. But as we well, that's the very meaning of her name Sita, is that she came out of the earth. anyway, it means daughter. So he addressed her that Rama Kamala Patraksha, he has eyes just like the petals of a lotus, Sarvasattva Manohara. His everything about him, his very existence, attracts the hearts, the minds, takes away the hearts of all beings. Rupa Dakshinya Sampana. His very form is endowed with great grace and dexterity. Pasutaha, these are all naturally inborn characteristics of Sri Rama. Then, I won't say all of it because time is also a factor. I'll concentrate on the parts which of Hanuman's description of Rama, which describe the beauty of his form, because that's the subject today. So he is Archishman, means he's effulgent. His very form is effulgent, shining. He's so pure that the beauty of the soul, and we find that also in a spiritually advanced person, because the beauty or the light of the soul is not covered by lust, greed, anger, envy, or material desires. So even through the material body, it becomes bright, shining. So he describes, Hanuman goes on to describe, Vipulangsha, he has a very big form, especially here it's translated, he's broad-shouldered, Mahabahu, long-armed, great arms, Kambu Griva, he has a neck like a conch shell, Because you see in the conch shell there are some lines. So in the neck also of a great of this great personality, Rama. It's like that Shubhanana. His face is Shubha, very auspicious. Gurhajatru is his collarbone is hidden. In other words, it's not sticking out. It's fleshy. Sutam Raksha. He is described here as beautiful red eyes. So he is described, so he is heard about by various people. Snigdavarna. Snigda means, literally means oily or supple. So his skin isn't all cracked and dried up. It's very soft and supple and beautiful. That's the whole thing. He's beautiful. Mridu is another word, yeah. Means soft. And then, he's Sharmavarna. Samavi Bhaktanga. His limbs are symmetrical. In other words, they're all matching. It doesn't. Sometimes you see people, one arm is longer than another, but not like that. They're all very beautifully formed. And Sharmavarna, there's a beautiful, his skin complexion is Sharma. Sometimes it's described that he's greenish, but more often he's described as Sharma. So I guess it might depend on the light in which you see, also difficult to say. Maybe sometimes to some devotees he appears somewhat greenish, but generally is Shama, just like Krishna is Shama, Shama Krishna. So there's Shama Rama also. So Tristira, he is firm in three limbs, means his breast, fist, and wrist, very strong. So this is similar to the Pancha Dirga, Pancha Sukshma verse that I just read. His three parts of his body are long, the breast, waist, and fist. And then another three that are long are the eyebrows, arms, and soles, uniform in three. That means his hair, they're of the same length. His testicle and knees elevated in three, his breast, his navel and his lower abdomen, his waist. Then some parts of his body are described as being coppery, tamraha. They're like copper. I presume that, reddish, it refers to parts of his body. The edges of his eyes, the nails, the palms, and the soles. Three parts are soft, the lines on his soles, his hair, and the end of the membrane virile. That's a very technical term, which I don't know what it means. And his voice, his gait, and his navel are all very deep. He has three folds in the skin of his, neck and his belly. Three places are very deep. So this is very similar to the description from the Samudrika. That goes on. Chaturgati is described here. That comes up as another name, so I'll leave that for now. Very detailed description of the form of Lord Rama. That's given there from the Sri Ramayana, Sundara Kanda. Then, what else have we got? Let's go through to another Ram here. Oh, where's that gone now? Balaram. Balaram is very beautiful. Described in the Nectar of Devotion. Let me take shelter of the lotus feet of Balaram, whose beauty is enhanced by the earrings touching his cheeks. His face is decorated with tilak made from kasturi musk, and his broad chest is decorated with a garland of gunja, gunja berries. His complexion is as white as an autumn cloud. So Krishna is as dark as a monsoon cloud. And Balaram is white like an autumn cloud. He wears garments of blue color and his voice is very grave. His arms are very long, touching his thighs, and he has shown his great strength by killing the Pralamba demon. Let me take shelter of this chivalrous Balaram. Okay, we can go on now to some verse that you all know very well, because you all chant it every day, we all chant it every day, from the Brahma Sanghita, describing the beauty of Krishna. And when we're singing this in the morning, we can try and remember what the meaning is, because it's really describing the beauty of Krishna. And the description is also very beautiful. Venam, you know what that means? His Venu, his flute. Venam kvananta maravinda dalaya taksham barhavatam samasitambuddha sundarangam kandarpa koti kamaniya vishesha shobham govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. In this verse comes the word sundarangam. So we're talking about swanga, beautiful form. So sundaranga means the same thing. That comes in this verse. So the translation, I worship Govinda, the primeval lord who is adept on playing on his flute with blooming eyes like lotus petals. Aravinda Dalaya Taksha. Aravinda means lotus. And dala means the petal, ayata means spread, so his eyes are, and aksha, so his eyes are spread wide and they resemble the lotus petal. Yeah. With blooming eyes like lotus petals, with head decked with a peacock feather, bahava tangsam, the decoration on his head is a peacock feather. With the figure of beauty tinged with the hue of blue clouds. Asitambuddha. Asita means black. Ambuddha means cloud. Ambu means water. Da means gives water. So Ambuddha, cloud. Asitambuddha. Sundarangam. Very beautiful description, no? Kandarpa koti kamaniya vishesha shobham. His beauty, so exceptionally beautiful, that he outdoes unlimited numbers of cupids, or they are attracted to him. His unique loveliness charming millions of cupids. And then the purport, the description by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. The matchless beauty of Krishna, the Supreme Lord of Golok, is being described. Krishna, the all-pervading cognition. The all-pervading cognition. Try and translate that. Means he's everywhere and he's everywhere and he knows everything. He's has a spiritual form of his own. The form of Krishna is not a fanciful creation of imagination formed after visualizing the beautiful things of this world. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that it's not that people saw something beautiful in this world and they imagined that there's some Krishna who's something like that. No, no, no. This is being described by Brahma. What Brahma saw in his ecstatic trance of pure devotion is being described. Krishna is engaged in playing upon his flute. That flute, by his enchanting musical sound, attracts the hearts of all living beings. We hear about the beauty of the sound of the flute, but it's also very beautiful to see Krishna with his flute, is it not? We have Krishna. We have the deity of Krishna with Radha and pictures of Krishna playing his flute. And just to see him playing his flute is very charming. What to speak of hearing? Just as a lotus petal produces a pleasant sight, so the two beautiful eyes of Krishna, who causes the manifestation of our spiritual vision, display the unlimited splendor and beauty of his moon-like face. The words are like a flow of nectar, describing different, the words, they're just describing all the different manifestations of Krishna's beauty. The loveliness that adorns his head with peacock feather figures, the corresponding feature of the spiritual beauty of Krishna, just as a mass of blue clouds offers a specifically soothing, pleasant view, the complexion of Krishna is analogously tinged with a spiritual dark blue color. The beauty and loveliness of Krishna is far more enchanting than that of Cupid multiplied a millionfold. So what's the next verse after Vainung Vananta Maravinda? You got it. Well, I was trying to catch you out there, because in the recording we have, the next verse is Angani Yasya Sakalin. But actually there's one verse in between, which I'll read now. Alola Chandrakala Sadvanamalya Vangshi Ratnangadam Pranaya Keli Kala Vila Samshamang Tribhanga Lalitam Niyata Prakasham Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, round whose neck is swinging a garland of flowers. And Chandrika here means the spot on a peacock's tail, whose two hands are adorned with the flute and jewel ornaments, who always revels in pastimes of love, whose graceful threefold form of Shamasunda is eternally manifest. Yesterday I recited. We can recite. There are hundreds and thousands of verses. We can't even imagine how many there are describing the beauty of Krishna. Namah Pankaja Nabhaya, Namah Pankaja Malane, Namah Pankaja Netraya, Namaste Pankaja Angraya. Yesterday I recited. I recited it again now. The Lord's chest is the abode of the goddess of fortune. His moon-like face is the drinking vessel for eyes which hanker after all that is beautiful. His arms are the resting places for the administrative demigods, and his lotus feet are the refuge of pure devotees. All right, let's go to the Srimad Bhagavatam, how Kapila, he describes how the yogis meditate on the form of the Lord. I'll just read the translations of these verses. Thus, always merged in devotional service, the yogi visualizes the Lord standing, moving, lying down, or sitting within him. When you see the yogi has to meditate, what's Krishna doing? Is he sitting or standing? I heard a story many years ago, a short anecdote, that a devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, is the Paramatma in the heart, is he sitting or standing? Prabhupada closed his eyes and said, he's standing. You don't know. There are so many stories which may or may not be true. Anyway, he's standing, moving, lying down or sitting within him, for the pastimes of the Supreme Lord are always beautiful and attractive. In fixing his mind on the eternal form of the Lord, the yogi should not take a collective view of all his limbs. In other words, not to see all the form of the Lord all at once, but should fix the mind on each individual form of the Lord. So the forms of the Lord, the parts of the body, the anga, svanga, the beautiful parts of the Lord's body, are being described here by Lord Kapila Dev. The devotee should first concentrate his mind on the Lord's lotus feet. They're not ordinary feet. They are adorned with the marks of a thunderbolt, a goad. Goad. You know what a goad is? Ankusha. Ankush. Yeah. In old India, people would know probably, but nowadays they have a steering wheel for the car. But a goad is the steering wheel. It's a steering wheel, it's a brake, it's an accelerator, everything all in one. Of course, sometimes they kick the elephant also. So that works as an accelerator also. a thunderbolt, a goad, a banner, and a lotus. A banner means, you've seen the pictures of Krishna's lotus feet, it's a flag. Flag is there. Banner, flag. And there are other marks also. The splendor, barleycorn, so many things. The splendor of their beautiful ruby nails of the lotus feet of Krishna resembles the orbit of the moon and dispels the thick gloom of one's heart. Ah! So if you're ever feeling gloomy, think about Krishna. Then we won't be gloomy. Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma! Come to the spiritual platform, thinking of Krishna. The blessed Lord Shiva becomes all the more blessed by bearing on his head the holy waters of the Ganga, which has as its source in the water that washed the Lord's lotus feet. The Lord's feet act like thunderbolts hurled to shatter the mountain of sin stored in the mind of the meditating devotee. One should therefore meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord for a long time. The yogi should fix in his heart the activities of Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, who is worshipped by all demigods and is the mother of the Supreme Person, Brahma. Yeah, he's born directly from, Brahma is born from the navel of, the lotus from the navel, so, but still Lakshmi is the mother. Krishna is the father and Lakshmi is the mother. She can always be found massaging the legs and thighs of the transcendental Lord, very carefully serving him in this way. Now that's a very important point. If we think we're talking about the beauty of the form of the Lord, he's always with Lakshmi. She's always serving him. So when we're talking about meditating on the form of Krishna, then Radha is there, Narayan, Lakshmi is there, Ram, Sita is there. So it's not mentioned so much, but she's always there also. Next, the yogi should fix his mind in meditation on the personality of Godhead's thighs, the storehouse of all energy. The Lord's thighs are whitish blue, they're not so dark, like the luster of the linseed flower. Do you know what a linseed flower is? Flax flower. In underground they grew some flax seeds. So they must have had the flowers also. In, I'm just trying to think what the Sanskrit name is for that. It's Alsi. At least that's the Gujarati name. Probably isn't the Sanskrit name. The luster of the linseed, Sanskrit must be right here. Atasika. Is given here. The thighs appear most grateful when the Lord is carried on the shoulders of Garuda. So when he's on Garuda, he's riding on Garuda, so his thighs touch the body of Garuda. Also, the yogi should contemplate his rounded hips, which are encircled by a girdle. You're doing okay? Hips is kamar in Hindi, Bengali. Which are encircled by a girdle that rests on the exquisite yellow cloth that extends down to his ankles. So when we think of the form of the Lord, we think of clothes form. Just like deity, we always see a deity dressed. And then sometimes the curtains are closed while the Lord is being undressed and redressed. We don't see him undressed. Pujaris, they can see. They can see. They're like the mother who undresses Krishna and then bathes him and then dresses him. That's what the pujaris do in the morning. The yogi should then meditate on his moon-like navel in the center of his abdomen. From his navel, which is the foundation of the entire universe. Remember we're talking about the beautiful... That's quite a body, yeah? From your body comes the whole universe. How about that? What do we produce? We're out of our navel, little smelly white thing. What do we produce out of our bodies? Some sweat, some stool, some horrible things. And he produces the whole universe. From his navel, sprang the lotus stem containing all the different planetary systems. The lotus is the residence of Brahma, the first created being. In the same way, the yogi should concentrate his mind on the Lord's nipples, which resemble a pair of most exquisite emeralds and which appear whitish because of the rays of the milk-white pearl necklaces adorning his chest. I have to read that a little slowly to absorb it all. The Lord's nipples, which resemble a pair of most exquisite emeralds, that means they're greenish in color, and which appear whitish because of the rays of the milk-white pearl necklaces adorning his chest. So his nipples are somewhat like emeralds, but they appear whitish because of the white pearl necklaces adorning his chest. The yogi should then meditate on the chest of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the abode of Goddess Mahalakshmi. The Lord's chest is the source of all transcendental pleasure for the mind and full satisfaction for the eyes. The yogi should then imprint on his mind the neck of the Personality of Godhead, who is adored by the entire universe. The neck of the Lord serves to enhance the beauty of the Kaustubha gem, which hangs on his chest. The yogi should further meditate upon the Lord's four arms, which are the source of all powers of the demigods who control the various functions of material nature. So it's not that the Lord's form is only beautiful, but he does everything with his form. From his transcendental form come the demigods, come the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras. Everything is manifest from his form. Then the yogi should concentrate on the polished ornaments which were burnished by Mount Mandara as it revolved. In Kurma Avatar, the ornaments of the Lord, they were burnished or polished by the mountain, Mandara. He should also duly contemplate the Lord's discus, the Sudarshan Chakra, which contains 1,000 spokes and a dazzling luster, as well as the conch, which looks like a swan in his lotus-like palm. So yeah, in the contemplation of the Lord's form, there'll also be what he carries with him. Just like it's maybe a bit of a strange example, but if someone, the police, they want to say, there's this suspect, or someone saw someone, and the police ask him, some criminal, what did he look like? And they'd say, not just his form, but what clothes he was wearing, what he was carrying in his hands, the car he went in. So in the same way, we'll describe, when we describe the form of Krishna, we'll say something about his clothes. The car he went in was, well, he doesn't go in a car, but Garuda, he travels on Garuda, and so on. So they're intimately connected with his form. The yogi should meditate upon his club, which is named Komadaki and is very dear to him. This club smashes the demons, who are always inimical soldiers, and is smeared with their blood. So a very beautiful form, but there's some blood of the demons on the club. One should also concentrate on the nice garland on the neck of the Lord, which is always surrounded by bumblebees. The garland is surrounded by bumblebees with their nice buzzing sound. So sound is there also. And one should meditate upon the pearl necklace on the Lord's neck, which is considered to represent the pure living entities who are always engaged in his service. The yogi should then meditate on the lotus-like countenance of the Lord, who presents his different forms in this world out of compassion for the anxious devotees. His nose is prominent, and his crystal clear cheeks are illuminated by the oscillation of his glittering alligator-shaped earrings. Alligator means that makara, sometimes described as an alligator. The yogi then meditates upon the beautiful face of the Lord, which is adorned with curly hair and decorated by lotus-like eyes and dancing eyebrows. A lotus surrounded by swarming bees and a pair of swimming fish would be put to shame by its elegance. So sometimes we think meditation sounds very boring. But this meditation, this isn't boring. This idea you meditate on nothing. Why meditate on nothing? Meditate on this one thing from which all other things come and which puts every other thing in, renders insignificant. That is the form of Krishna. The yogi should contemplate with full devotion the compassionate glances frequently cast by the Lord's eyes, for they soothe the most fearful threefold agonies of his devotees. His glances, accompanied by loving smiles, are full of abundant grace. Ha Samhara! The smiling of the Lord, Hari. A yogi should similarly meditate on the most benevolent smile of Lord Sri Hari, a smile which, for all those who bow to him, dries away the ocean of tears caused by intense grief. The yogi should also meditate on the Lord's arched eyebrows, which are manifested by his internal potency in order to charm the sex god for the good of the sages. The sex god. In other words, Krishna's eyebrows. If we're attracted to them, then we won't be attracted to the eyebrows of Miss World. With devotion steeped in love and affection, the yogi should meditate within the core of his heart upon the laughter of Lord Vishnu. The laughter of Vishnu is so captivating that it can be easily meditated upon. When the Supreme Lord is laughing, one can see his small teeth, sukshma, remember they're described as sukshma, his teeth, which resemble jasmine buds rendered rosy by the splendor of his lips. Once devoting his mind to this, the yogi should no longer desire to see anything else. Yeah. So the yogi is meditating to get free from material desires, but he can become full of spiritual desires, desire to see the Lord. Then, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described about Krishna. Krishnanga Madhurya Sindhu, Krishnanga, Svanga, the form of Krishna, is the ocean of sweetness. And then he went on to describe Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, quoting Bilva Mangala Thakur. Madhurang, madhurang, vapurasya vibhur, madhurang, madhurang, vadanang, madhuram. Madhugandhi, mridu, smritam, etadaho, madhurang, 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 madhuram. The transcendental body of Krishna is very sweet. His face is even sweeter than his body, but his soft smile, which has the fragrance of honey, is sweeter still. So if you're not interested in all of this, here's some advice from Rupa Goswami. If you're not interested in seeing Krishna, or rather he's advising, be careful of Krishna. He says, Smeram bhangi traya parichitam. Sachi vistirna drishtim vangshi nyastadhara krishalayam ujvalam chandrakena govindakyam haritanam ita keshi tirto pakante ma prekshitaha stavayadi sake bandhusange stirangaha. My dear friend, Rupa Goswami advises, if you are indeed attached to your worldly friends, do not look at the smiling face of Lord Govinda. Don't look at Krishna. Don't see Krishna. As he stands on the bank of the Yamuna at Keshi Ghat, casting sidelong glances, he places his flute to his lips, which seem like newly blossomed twigs. His transcendental body, bending in three places, appears very bright in the moonlight. The transcendental body of Krishna is very sweet, and his face is even sweeter than his body. But his soft smile... Oh, that's another verse which I just read. Yeah. So yeah, be careful, folks. If we want to remain materially attached, don't become attracted to the form of Krishna. In other words, in a back-to-front way, Rupa Goswami is saying, just let us see the beautiful form of Krishna. Now the sun has set, so we won't see. Well, those who have eyes to see, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena, those whose eyes are smeared with the salve of love of Krishna, Santasadaiva Hridayeshu Vilokayanti, they always see the form of Krishna within their heart. What is that form? Yang Shyama Sundara Machintya Guna Swarupa. It's that beautiful blackish form which is composed of inconceivable transcendental qualities. That Govinda Vadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami, that Govinda who is the original person I worship, says Brahma. Hare Krishna!